Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, our scripture lesson comes from Psalm 103. I'd like to read it through. It's the whole psalm, and it's verses 1 through 22. And then we'll look at this psalm piece by piece as we might listen for what God has to say to us today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is one of those psalms that I put on my list as favorite psalms. It's a favorite of mine, because it reminds us and tells us what we are to do all the days of our life. We were created by God to be in relationship with God and to worship and praise God always. That's why we came into being, to worship and praise God always. And as we look at this particular psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving for God's goodness, we hear what many of the attributes of God are. And this morning, I just want to lift those up to us, that we might hear them anew, that we might hear them for the first time, or that we might reflect upon them and really grasp how much God cares for us, and how much God loves us. As you heard as I read, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. This psalm starts out telling us that we are to bless the Lord and all that is within me. That doesn't mean just intellectually. It doesn't mean just emotionally. It doesn't mean just psychologically. It means with our whole being, With every fiber of who we are, we're called to bless the Lord. And that means every day and throughout moments during the day, we're called to praise God. Can you imagine a world where we praised God all day long? And where if the whole community praised God all day long, what an impact that would have on our world? There's an old children's song. And part of the words go like this. Grumble on Monday, grumble on Tuesday, grumble on Wednesday too. Grumble on Thursday, grumble on Friday, grumble the whole week through. That's the exact opposite of what we're being told by David in this psalm. We're not to spend our lives grumbling over situations in our lives. We're to spend our lives in praise of God. Now, I'll admit, sometimes I grumble on Monday or on Wednesday. I have a feeling I'm not alone in that. That at some point during the week, many of us might grumble about something. But that's where the everlasting, steadfast love of the Lord comes into play. The psalm continues, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." God's love for us is immeasurable. God's love for us can heal us in body, mind, and spirit. And yet sometimes we need to remember that God's healing is oftentimes different than what the kind of healing we may be praying for. In God's time, God does make everything whole and healthy. In God's time, God works in us that which will be best for us, even if we can't see that. God satisfies us with good as long as we live. I have a feeling that if I took the time, and if you took the time to carry a little logbook with us throughout the day, that we would find out if we're really paying attention and listening attentively, that we will see how many things of goodness God brings to our life. I have a feeling it's a lot more than the grumbling that we do. It's that we don't pay attention. I wonder how often you and I have, in a sense, taken God for granted in that way. We just kind of know, well, God's probably going to do good things for me. And I go about my day and my week and my Sunday, and I don't pay attention to the way in which God does satisfy me and you with good. That might be a challenge for the week. Carry a little notepad. When you see something that takes place in your life or within yourself or with your family, at work, within the community, where you know it's the goodness of God, jot it down. And at the end of the day, you may be very surprised to find out how good God has been to you and to me. The psalm continues, "The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Oftentimes we hear this verse, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love," after our prayer of confession. When we receive the good news of God's forgiveness, God is merciful. God is gracious. Who do you know in your life, other than God through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, is merciful to you all the time? All the time. Who shows grace, God's grace to you? Most often it's revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we learn that God is slow to anger and he abounds in steadfast love. Now, I've heard it said that reading through the Old Testament is very difficult to do. And one of the reasons it's very difficult is because of all the times that it seems like God's wrath is present. And we have a hard time saying, how can God be merciful? And yet we see a God of wrath. I would remind you that when we see those times when it's stated that God's wrath was upon them, that oftentimes, at least for me, it doesn't mean the wrath of anger like one of us might have, but it means righteous anger, trying to help bring people back to God. But we also know that he will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. We find in the New Testament Jesus speaking to this, where we see Jesus being compassionate and having empathy for people, correcting people in loving and caring ways. Jesus is God's Son, as you know, and Jesus is showing us that God is for us. In all things, God is for us. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. God deals with us in ways that will bring us back in relationship with God. God deals with us in ways that will help us to grow in his love that we've learned through Jesus Christ for others. God's love doesn't count our sin, but God's love is there to take away our sin. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Another verse in verse 11, which I just read, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us." Oftentimes, that's the words of assurance after prayers of confession once again, reminding us that his love is for us in such a way that we cannot measure it. For as the heavens are high above the earth, how high do the heavens go? And as far as the east is from the west, how far is that? God removes our transgressions from us. Think about that. Dwell on that. Remember that. Our God loves us to the point where we cannot measure how deep and wide his love is. Have you ever tried to measure how far the east is from the west? Have you ever tried to measure how high the heavens are above the earth? It's incomprehensible for us. God cares for us and loves us to such a degree that we cannot measure it in our terms. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. Sometimes people struggle with this particular passage. And oftentimes the struggle comes in when someone has had the life experience of not having a compassionate father. If you've been in those circumstances, I think you could appreciate, maybe not fully understand, but appreciate how difficult and understanding this might be for someone. If I did not have a compassionate father, why would I want to think God the Father would be like my father? So we need to take this verse and look at it in terms of good, loving relationships. Sometimes for persons who've not experienced the compassion of a father, may have a father-like figure who has shown them compassion and guidance and acceptance and love and encouragement. And when that takes place, you can grasp more deeply what this is saying. God remembers how we were made. God made us from dust. On Ash Wednesdays, we come forward to receive the ashes on our forehead. And there are a couple different things that may be said upon receiving the ashes. The one used the most is, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." God created us from the dust of the earth. God breathed into us God's breath of life. If you've ever had the opportunity to be at the birth of a baby, and you wait anxiously to hear that baby's first cry, when they breathe on their own, you have experienced God breathing the breath of life into someone. God continues through his Holy Spirit to breathe into us his love and his life. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. During the changing of the seasons, we see this happening, don't we? We see where plants may die, where they once flourished. But we also know that God brings many of them back to life. But hear this next verse. Do you have your ears open? But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. There are times and life circumstances when some might say, where was God in all this? And the answer to that is God is in every life circumstance. Whether it's a tragedy or a joy, God is there. At the moment of a tragedy, we might not understand how God is there, but as we reflect upon it, we will come to know and see that in the midst of all of that, God was there. Remember, oftentimes God has to use people, those who have skin and bone, to be and to take the action that God might take. For us, that's called discipleship. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. God's love never leaves us. If you ever feel and believe that God has left you, I would invite you to consider, how far did you move? Because most often, it is you and I who have moved away from God, because God doesn't leave us. And God wants to call us back. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In one of the Psalms, the trees are described as clapping their hands. If the trees can praise God, surely we can. This psalm I hold close and dear because it does remind me of how much God loves me. And it reminds me how much God loves you. From the beginning to the end, from the beginning of the psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, to the end, bless the Lord, O my soul. God is good. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for your great love for us. It is sometimes difficult for us to understand that you can love us this much, and yet you do. We give you thanks, O God, for the mercy you show to us. And we pray, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We give you thanks, O God, that you remove our sin from us and that you call us to walk in newness of life. We give you thanks, O God, that through the power of your Holy Spirit working in our lives, we might extend your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness to all whom we meet. Lord, lead and guide us this day, that in all things we will praise you and in all things we will serve you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.